Take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, we're going to read verses 11 through 17. Let me say this, if you missed the sermon this morning, I'm not going to tell you that I think it was a packaged well type sermon, but I believe it's a truth that could help you for an awfully long time in your Christian life. It is just one of those wonderful truths that if you really get a hold of it, will really, really, really help you. Challenge you to listen to it. Those of you that were working in other ministries here, listen to it, and that will help you. Proverbs chapter 13, we're going to read verses 11 through 17. Let's read this responsively. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. And let's finish on verse 17 together. Ready? A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. And let's pray. Father, please take the word of God over the next 30 minutes, and would you please help us to apply it to our lives? And would you help us maybe to walk out of here a bit stronger and a bit more capable spiritually for a lot longer in our lives? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Heart disease is the number one killer in America today. There are more people that die by heart disease than any other disease known to man in America. Just on my way to church this evening, I got word that a friend of mine has passed away. And my heart was sad. And probably, if I had you raise your hand, there is not a family in this church that's not been affected either by someone in your family or someone your family knows directly by heart disease. There's probably not a family represented that's not been affected by it. You have to understand, it seems to be a very common thing in our country to have heart disease. I'm going to use a term, it's not a medical term, but your heart is kind of the pump house of life. It is where all of life flows through. The Bible says the life of the body is in the blood. Well, what pumps the blood around? The heart. If your heart stops, your life stops. You have just a short time to get that thing primed up and going again, or they're going to put you out with Brother Taylor in the refrigerator. I mean, get that thing going there. Now, I say that to say you must have a heart to live. Did you know if you take your heart out, you're not going to live? It's just not going to happen. Now, you can live without parts of your gizzard and parts of your gut and parts of your colon, and you can live without your teeth, you can live without your eyeballs, you can live without a lot of parts of your body, but you're not going to live without your heart. It's just not possible. Yesterday evening, I got a text from a friend of mine in Wisconsin, and he is very close friends with a pastor friend of mine named Pastor Gary Dice in Pittsville, Illinois. Brother Dice is the pastor we've prayed for often that has, I think he's had like 13 angioplasties. God only knows how many stints the man's had, open heart surgery, 3 heart attacks. And he, Brother Olson yesterday from Wisconsin texted me. He said, please pray for Brother Dice. It looks as though his body's rejecting all the stints now. Oh, my soul. My heart literally is just crushed for them. He's been through a lot. He's not afraid to die. He watched his wife pass away years ago, was remarried. Now he's pastoring a church and trying to pastor a church and get through all these heart troubles. And now he's facing even more. Almost 2,200 people every day die from heart trouble in America. not in the world, in America. That is one out of every three deaths in America every day are due to heart trouble. That's almost 100 people per hour. That's a little over one person every second and a half. Folks, or no, that's two people every second and a half. I'm sorry. That's a lot of people. That means every time your heart pumps, almost two people are dying because theirs stops. Think about that. Somewhere in America, every time I do that, two people are dying because their heart stops. Now, my dear hero and pastor friend, Dr. Jack Hiles, 14 and a half years ago, died of heart disease. He had what they call arterial stenosis, an aortic stenosis, and his heart literally gave up. It eventually, after surgery, literally just broke and blew up in the inside. He died of heart disease. He knew for years he had it, and he worked on it, but eventually it took him. Just as the heart is the body's physical center of life. And I realize it is not the biological center of life. All right? I'm not saying it is in the exact middle where your belly button is of your body, amen? But I will say this, it is the center of the life-giving parts of your body. If your heart stops, everything else stops. It is the life center of your body. It is the symbol also of love. Have you ever noticed that the heart is the symbol of love? Because it is the symbol of life-giving, the center of all things. In the Bible talks about the heart a lot, and it talks about it as the seat of our emotions, or the center of our emotions, our love, and all those things which are close to us. If you love your wife or you love your husband, you say, I love you with all my heart. Now, not every country in the world believes that. There are countries that believe that the kidneys are the center of life. Can you imagine looking at your sweetheart saying, I love you with all my kidneys? Oh, my soul, my name's Sydney, I love you with my kidney, amen? But there are places that do believe that. Now, though I am concerned about people's physical heart conditions, I'm more concerned about people's spiritual heart conditions. We probably have more Christians with spiritual heart disease in this room than we do people that have a physical heart disease. You see, people in church and people in this world seem to have little spiritual heart these days. We have no heart for the things of God, and we've become almost robotic, almost, I'm going to use a more modern term, we've almost become digitized in our Christianity to what we're supposed to be. We're like a computer screen. If we can't put it on our phone or put it on a computer screen, then we don't want anything to do with it. People don't want to put their heart into church attendance. People don't want to put their heart into soul winning. People don't want to put their heart into tithing and giving. People don't want to put their heart into helping others. People don't put their heart into Bible reading, into prayer, into walking with God. And it seems that we approach the spiritual life with little or no thought of our heart. Can I tell you something? We don't have long left on this earth. I don't care how old you are. Good night. 70, 80, 90, 100 years is that compared to eternity. May I say this after what I read this morning is an email that I've gotten from some missionary friends that I know in Iraq, and how that the ISIS people are going into city after city in Iraq. They are going to the Christians that live there, and they're pulling the children out of the home saying, either you denounce Jesus or we'll kill you. And not one child has denounced Jesus, and they're beheading children by the thousands as we speak. They're going after the missionaries and the parents next. Trust me. By the way, your president, your government want to bring them over by the tens of thousands into America to do the same thing here. We don't have long left on this earth. By the way, I'm not panicked. I'm not afraid. I'm not worried. Just so you know. It's not time to get all freaked out. You say, why? Jesus is coming. It's going to be okay. Now, tonight, I'm not wanting to do open heart surgery. You know, open heart surgery is supposed to be the last thing you do. Not the first thing. Amen, Brother Brining? It's not one of those things you want to do first. Before you go to open heart surgery, if they can foresee some things, they try to do some preventive medicine, preventive maintenance, those types of things. If you'll allow me for about 20 minutes, I'd like to be your spiritual cardiologist for a little while. And I'd like to try to prevent open heart surgery for somebody in this room. Let me tell you this, you can't take a pill and fix it. You're not going to take a pill and say, shazam, it's all fixed. Not going to work that way. It's going to be a lifestyle change in your life to fix your life, to fix your heart spiritually. Let me give you three or four things. I think I've got three things here, and then we'll be done. Number one, that's what was on me. Hang on here. I don't know if I got him, but I let him know I was there, didn't I? Number one, you say, what was it? I don't know, but it wasn't supposed to be there, so I got it. Number one, you'll need to change your diet. Now, I'm not talking necessarily about the food you take, but your diet for your physical heart is that which you intake into your body. Somebody thought they were cute, and they would send me a joke about dieting. They said, I have a condition that allows me not to be able to diet. I get hungry. I thought that was pretty good. Amen. Can I tell you something? To help your physical heart, there are foods that you should not eat. If you have heart condition, they're going to tell you to stay away from greasy foods, and they're going to tell you to stay away from lots of heavy types of foods, and there are things that you're not supposed to put into your body because, A, it'll build up plaque, it'll build up stress on your heart, and the more stress on your heart, more chance there is that it's not going to keep pumping. So there are some foods that you're not supposed to eat. You say, what are you supposed to eat? Cardboard and rice. That's about it. But there are some things you should not eat with heart disease. Did you know there are some spiritual things that you should not add to your heart? You know, there's some things that you should not take into your life that will cause a stress on your spiritual heart. Let me show you what I mean. Do you know that some of you live with sorrow? I'm not talking about your husband or your wife. But some of you live with sorrow. Some of you never get past sorrowing over everything. Can I tell you something? My heart sorrows, but it doesn't dwell there. I got word that a friend passed away. My heart sorrowed for people, but that person's in heaven, walking streets of gold, not feeling pain anymore, not struggling anymore. Why should I be sorry very long? If I'm going to be sorry, it's for us left behind, not the one that went to heaven. See, some of you live with grief and sorrow, and you get yourself bogged down, and you worry, and you worry, and you stress, and you stress, and you stress, and you allow that sorrow to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And can I tell you something? Let it go. Don't take sorrow into your life. If you have problems with sorrow, don't listen to bad news. Don't listen to bad news. By the way, I protect when I hear bad news. That's why I won't counsel with you before I preach. Can I tell you why? I got to be on top side. I don't want to hear that you're fighting with your husband or fighting with your wife or you know, you're about ready to leave the country because you just want to just run away and all these things. I might get in the pulpit and have a sorrowful heart, and I'm not going to do it. I had the hardest time reading that email this morning that I read during the announcements, and I had to put it in such a place where I'd get myself back on topside before I preach this morning. Say why? Because that was heavy. It was sorrowful to me. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like doing that, but I felt like our church needed that. So sorrow can, that intake of sorrow. By the way, listen to the music you listen to. The world's music is sorrowful. The devil's music is full of sorrow. God's music is uplifting. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Wow. Charlie Weigel wrote that song. Do you know Charlie Weigel was an evangelist and his wife left him, and he wrote that song after his wife left him? Everybody doing okay? He had nobody left anymore but Jesus, and he said, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Wow. Some of the greatest songs have been birthed out of sorrow because they didn't focus on the sorrow. They focused on the joy on the other side. So sorrow, covetousness. Our country is obsessed with coveting. Oh, this person got this, so I've got to have one too. It's not fair that my boss got a new truck or a new car, so it's not right that these rich people get whatever they want, and because I'm too lazy to go out and get a job and work that I don't have anything. Can I tell you something? You have the same availability to get off your blessed assurance and go out there and work as hard as they did to get it. But it's not their responsibility to get one for you. We want and we want and we want and we want and we want. We want everything. We want the same things our mom and dad have at 20 years old that they didn't have till they were 40 or 50, and you're not going to have it. Good night. We stayed with my son and daughter-in-law at their apartment when we were in Lexington when we took Mindy to college. They have a little two-bedroom apartment. It's a college, married couple's apartment. It's an older building. They're a little embarrassed. My wife and I said, Josh, Ruth Ann, see your living room and your kitchen? That whole area right there is bigger than our first apartment was. I'm not kidding. Our whole apartment, I'm not lying, cross my heart, hope Brother Jim dies. Our whole first apartment, my mom and dad are sitting right back here. The whole apartment would fit in this section of chairs, and there's more chairs than there was apartment. That was the whole apartment. I'm not kidding. Matter of fact, you probably put two of them in there. It was tiny. Can I tell you something? They're doing well. I'm happy for them. But we covet too much. We want what somebody else has too much. I'm going to throw another word out here. Lust. That's the word desire. We lust too much. America is obsessed with lust. That's not just a physical sexual word either. We want too many things. We have created an appetite with children to where they can stand in line at the grocery store and say, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. And in order to keep the kids shut up, mom or dad grabs it and gives it to them. That's not how it works. Another thing that'll cause spiritual stress and that we intake into our life is anger. Folks, well, I just have a short fuse. Your fuse isn't any shorter than anybody else's. You just let it blow. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for somebody who didn't have a temper, but I also wouldn't give you 2 cents for somebody that just blows it off all the time. You know, all of us get angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Everybody doing okay? Some of you allow anger to come to you too much. Some of you wait till your boiling point's there before you do anything. Some of you don't even know what makes you angry. You ought to make a study of yourself of what makes you angry, keep it with you, and then also do a study of that which calms you down, and look at your list when you start feeling yourself get angry, foresee it coming, pull the other list out, and calm yourself down. It is a science. Everybody doing okay? Man, am I having fun right now. I'm by myself up here, I'm sure. This one is intended for everybody. I want every eyeball right here. I don't have any one person in mind. I have everybody in mind. I've been preaching long enough to know that this is probably one of the biggest stressors on spiritual hearts of every church and every Christian in America, and that is this: bitterness. Bitterness. You have not forgiven somebody, and you are not right with God. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. Well, you just don't know what they did to me. Do you know what they did to Jesus? You think you're more spiritual than he is? Do you know what you did to God? And you think you're spiritual enough to hold a grudge against somebody? Let it go. Why are you going to let somebody else get the best of you? Well, they took my money. They owe me money. Oh, so your God is big. Your God is money, not Jesus. That money's more important than being right with God. Everybody doing okay? How about sin? Sin causes spiritual heart stress. We're not supposed to be taking a steady diet of sin in. I'm talking about what's on your phone, what's on your computer, what's on your Facebook, what's on everything you watch on the stinking tube. Evil. Evil is a conspiracy to destroy someone. When you listen to gossip, you're partaking in evil. Period. I was very proud of one of our young people. Somebody called him and was spouting their mouth off about something negative, and they hung up on him. Told him they didn't want to hear it and hung up on him. Thank God they had enough spiritual sense to hang up. An adult was spewing vomit. There was another word I was going to say, but I decided not to. Spewing their negative, and they went to the point where the adult later called back and apologized. That's the way it ought to be. Everybody doing okay? Hatred. Who do you hate? Hatred. There are people in this room, you hate somebody, you won't even speak to them. You're not right with God. Now, I wouldn't walk across the street and talk to the Pope, but if he walked in front of me, I would treat him like a gentleman. I wouldn't walk across the aisle to talk to the president, but if he walked close enough, I would treat him like a gentleman. I don't hate him. I may hate what he stands for, but I do not hate him. Everybody doing okay? I've been kind to Catholic priests. Now, when they find out I'm a Baptist preacher, they're not as kind, and they get out of there in a hurry. But it's okay. You see, there are some things that you should not take into your life. There are also some things you should take into your life. You know, there are some foods that are good for your physical heart. And there are some things that are good for your spiritual heart. You see, the spiritual things that you should take into your heart, according to Psalm 119, 111, thy word, hello, is health. Joshua 14:7, the Bible talks about the Bible being life-giving words. Did you catch that? Life-giving words. Psalm 119, verse 11, the Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Hello, the Bible will keep the bad things away from your life. So you need to be taking in the word of God. Did you know that the eye affects the heart? Take your Bible, turn to the book of Lamentations. It's right after the book of Jeremiah, before Ezekiel. My mother's about to laugh, but when I think of the word Lamentations, I think of lemons. I couldn't say Lamentations when I was a kid, and she said, well, just think of Lamentations. Think of lemons. So I see yellow when I see the word lamentation. I don't know why, but I do. She corrupted me. She warped my psyche. But Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 51. Some of you ought to memorize this verse. It says, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. Can I tell you something? You better be careful what you let come into these eyeballs right here. You better be careful to what you see on your television. You better be careful what you see on your social networking. You better be careful what you see in the world and what places you drive by, what billboards you look at. You ought to be careful what you see on the television. May I say it this way? You ought to be careful what you read. What you read will affect your heart. Be careful of the filth on your computer. You don't have to go looking in bad places that bad things come up on your computer. And some of you let your kids do things, see things that no adult should be seeing or doing, and you don't even know they're doing it. Everybody doing okay? So, number one, the next 2 points go a little faster. You need to change your diet for a better spiritual heart. Number two, you need to exercise to keep the heart healthy. Did you know your heart is a muscle? And you know the only way to keep a muscle strong is to exercise it. Now, you can't take your heart out and lift weights with it. You can't take your heart out and run a half marathon with it. Say why? Doesn't have any feet, and that's stupid anyway. Except for my secretary. But you need to exercise to keep your heart healthy. Did you know that you need to exercise your spiritual heart to keep it healthy? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 14, let me read it to you. The Bible says, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and a heart have they exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Did you know that the Bible talks about exercising a spiritual heart? Now, they were exercising it wrongly for wrong things. That means you can also exercise for right things as well with your heart. Did you know you're supposed to stay active as long as you can? You know, one of the best exercises in the world is walking. Get up and move. Say, well, I can't walk far. Well, walk two steps farther than you did yesterday. And tomorrow, walk two steps farther. Eventually, you'll get there, amen? You're supposed to increase your heart rate on a regular basis. That way, it strengthens your heart. You need to strengthen your heart spiritually. The Bible talks about enlarge mine heart. That means this. I watched some of you this morning as I read that email, and I watched you weep, and I watched you cry, and I watched your heart grow. You hurt for somebody you don't even know. That was exercising your heart. Did you know that helping somebody else exercises your heart? Did you know that praying for somebody other than yourself and not praying for somebody to give you something is a way to grow your heart? Did you know that loving somebody, not expecting anybody to love you back, is growing your heart? Did you know loving on those kids in Sunday school, Brother Ron, is a way to grow your heart? And by the way, he loves those kids. I've watched Brother and Mrs. Barnes love on these kids in here, and Brother Mrs. Rogers with those teenagers. And you'll go long and hard to find somebody who loves teenagers like those two people do. And they love them. Can I tell you something? That grows your heart. Did you know that tithing will grow your heart? Sacrificial giving will grow your heart. The Bible talks about it. I'm going to make a statement here. Making it through tough emotional times by faith will grow your heart. God didn't say he was going to keep you from bad things happening to your life, but he said he'd go through those bad things with you. God didn't say he was going to take the bad things away. He did say, I'll help you get through it, and that will grow your heart. I've been through some pretty bad things. You know what? It taught me when the next time somebody else was suffering to hurt for them. Really does. You know, you get whomped on enough, you feel sorry for a guy that's getting whomped on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Is that a bad word, whomped? I think it's an Ohio term. I'm not sure it's a West Virginia term. did you know that soul winning will grow your heart? It'll exercise your heart. By the way, it'll exercise your body. You got to get out and walk door to door. So you get exercise of the physical heart as well as the spiritual heart. And can I tell you something? The other day, I drove up to Maryland to see Brother Joe's dad. I walked about the length of this building is all the farther I walked. But after about 20 minutes and that man got saved, my heart was racing. Amen, Brother Ron? We were going at it on the way home, buddy. My heart was just going a mile a minute. I watched this guy's face change. I watched him look at me and said, nobody's ever shown me that in the Bible before. Never saw it that way before. I've had people try to tell me this. He said, I sat down with Mike Schenenberger before and he tried to show that. He said, didn't make sense like that before. I said, well, let me show you this. He said, well, I believe. I said, I know you believe, but did you ever get saved? He said, I don't think so. How do I do it? That's like saying, sick him to a bulldog. And in just a couple moments, he bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. You should have seen the change in that man's life. I mean, that quick. I found out later he's chased off more preachers than he's ever talked to. I didn't know that. I really didn't. When you told me that, I was shocked. Man, he's a nice guy. Why would he chase me off? You say, what is it? I told Joe, I said, Joe, I'm coming. He said, you bringing your Bible? I said, you better believe it. I said, I'm bringing the gospel gun loaded and I'm bringing extra clips, amen? And they're fully loaded. I can change clips that quick. I didn't have to even pull the trigger. He was ready. He gave up. He raised a white flag before I even got started. I opened up the first verse and he was like, okay, now what? It was almost too easy. Can I tell you something? My heart was racing. I was having fun. I told Brother Ron, I said, I can't believe I get to do this. We had barely gotten out of the driveway, turned the corner. I said, Brother Ron, I can't believe we get to do this. I had to drive. I didn't feel like driving. I could have ran all the way back home. I really could have. And then my phone rang. And somebody else needed help. Somebody else needs to get saved. It's like, I get to do it again, Brother Ron. Whew. Can I tell you something? You want to get your heart rate up? Go win somebody to Christ. Your heart's going to go like this. I promise you. Number three, and I'm done. So, number one, you need to change your intake, your diet. Number two, you need to exercise to keep your heart healthy. Number three, you need regular checkups. And let me just say right here, some of you men, quit being so stinking stubborn and get your heart checked every once in a while. Get your health checked. I'm talking to me too, just so you know. I finally have succumbed and I'm going every year to the doctor to get checked out. Last time I went, she made me come back after 3 months to get my blood checked again because it wasn't where she wanted it. And I went, to you too, all right? But I'm working on it. And after 3 months, got it checked again, went back to her. She said, I got good news for you. I said, I'm not going to see you for 9 more months, right? She said, yep. And I said, I'm not pregnant. She laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. She laughed. I was serious. Now, wait a minute. You know, the doctors say after you've had heart disease, they want to check you about every 3 or 4 months. Can I tell you something? You ought to be at church 3 times a week, get a heart checkup. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that's where you get your heart checked out. You let the cardiologist work on it, and his name is Jesus, the great physician, amen? By the way, don't be afraid to go see get some counsel, get some advice. Fortunately, heart disease doesn't run in my family. Not much. I think I had a grandfather that had heart disease, and as far as I know, he's the only one that's got heart issues. Say, do you? Don't know. Never got it checked out. No. Honestly, my family doesn't have a lot of heart issues. We don't have a lot of cancer issues. We got bone problems, but I'll take bone problems over cancer and heart any day. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean it can't affect us. You know, can I tell you something? Every once in a while, you're going to need to go to the doctor because something's just not quite right. Can I tell you something? Don't be afraid to come see the preacher. I'll help you. Well, I already know what you're going to say. No, you don't. You might think you do. Every once in a while, the Lord gives me a little bit of sense to help you with problems. You'd be surprised, even medically, how many things I've been through. I had a friend of mine this week. She texted me. She said, oh, pray for my daughter. She fell at home, cracked her head. She called where I work, and she said her words were slurred, and we could hardly understand her. She was able to leave and go home real quick and check on her. They called the ambulance or took her to the hospital. She had a major concussion. She was unconscious for 8.5 hours. I said to her, she got a concussion. She said, well, we're hoping that's all that's wrong. And through the process, I said, I've had 5 of those. I know what she's feeling. I texted this morning. I said, how's she doing? She said, still got a bad headache. I said, the headache lasts 3 to 5 days. After 5 days, it's going to start backing off. She said, I hope you're right. I said, trust me. I got a text just before church. Headaches backing off. You were right. He said, I've been there too many times. Lady, I know what I'm talking about. I've been cracked in the coconut enough. Trust me. Can I tell you something? Every once in a while, the Lord will give the man of God the right things to help you. Well, there's no way you can know all that. You're right, but God can work through the man of God and through the Word of God to help you find the problems that He has for you. Spiritual heart disease. I wonder how many people in this room, your spiritual heart isn't where it should be. How's your intake? How's your exercise? How's your regular checkups going? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Spiritual heart disease. Some of us need to maybe come to this altar tonight and get our heart checked out by the Holy Spirit of God. Need to get ourselves fixed by the Holy Spirit of God.